Say you stand.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
On a passage selected from the book of St. John. The third chapter, beginning with the first and a few of the following verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doth except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Seeing the kingdom is what we're talking about. Seeing the kingdom. It is thought that Jesus was stopping in the home of one of his disciples when Nicodemus visited him on this epochal night, desirous to interview Jesus on the question of being born again. Being born again. You see, we are concerned about Nicodemus, number one, as to who he was. First of all, he was a Pharisee. He was a member of that exclusive sect in Judaism who set themselves apart as being the guardians of the law. You see, the law had two groups of sponsors. The Sadducees, who were the exponents of the written law. The Pharisees, who were the exponents of the oral law, who believed that simultaneous with the giving of the written law, God gave certain gifts to certain people to interpret that law, called the oral law. Aside from that, these people considered themselves a distinctive group because they harked back to the Maccabean campaign, which got underway to purify Judaism and to liberate the Jewish people from the desecration of the Assyrians. These people tied themselves to that noteworthy history with respect and in relation to Judaism. Not only were they the interpreters of the law, but they called themselves the guardians of the law. The guardians and the exponents of a purified Judaism. Now, aside from that, Nicodemus was or enjoyed some distinction aside from his membership in the Pharisaic party. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. And the Sanhedrin Council was a kind of a supreme court in Judaism. A kind of a supreme court. Now, it was this type of man, a man who was a Pharisee, a man who was a strict religionist, a court justice, so to speak, who came to Jesus by night. Now, there's been some speculation as to why he chose to come by night. Some speculate that he was ashamed. Others felt that possibly his occupation, his profession, his job, his work preoccupied him and rendered him unable to see Jesus during the day, and that the nighttime was the only convenient time for him.
Yes.
Be that as it may. But what I think is really important is that he went to Jesus. That's the important thing. No matter about the time, the great thing is that he went to Jesus. Doesn't make any difference about what time it is. Day or night's all right. The important thing, the thing that you should not allow or dare to put off, and that is to see Jesus. To see Jesus. See Jesus. And then he, upon his visit, he addressed him. He exhibited a unique respect for Jesus. This man, I don't know, I think that if there was any real reason for visiting Jesus by night, I think it would be that rather Jesus had not been sanctioned by Judaism. The leaders, the high priests, the church, the nation had not accepted Jesus, had not sanctioned Jesus, and this man was a public official. And a great deal of importance was attached to him interviewing or visiting with anybody. Isn't it so? And so possibly for public reasons, for reasons that was concerned about his public conduct, possibly influenced him to see Jesus by night. But despite the reason of his visit or the time of his visit, he had a unique respect for Jesus. Notice his address, Rabbi. Rabbi. You see, a rabbi was a teacher. He was a teacher of Judaism. He was a preserver of Judaism. He taught in the synagogue. He was one of the guardians of preserving the cultural heritage and the religious heritage of the people of Judaism. He was an important man. And remember that these people didn't just play around with titles. If he addressed Jesus as rabbi, it was because he respected him as such. For a Jew did not address you or associate you with that which he regarded as sacred and religious unless he was so impressed by you. I wish I had somebody here praying with me tonight while I'm trying to preach sick here. Listen if you please. Listen if you please. Listen if you please. So he addressed Jesus as a rabbi. And then he indicated that Jesus had been the subject of discussion and the subject of consideration. Not only by him, but by His associate.
Yeah.
Listen at it.
Yes,
we know.
Yeah.
Listen, now, more than me have been thinking about this thing.
Yes,
we know.
Yes,
we have not only thought,
yes,
we have concluded.
Yes.
We know that thou art a teacher.
Yes.
Sent from God.
Yes.
I wish you'd pray with me.
Yes.
We know that thou art a teacher.
Yes.
Sent from God.
Yes.
For you couldn't do these miracles that you're doing,
yes,
except God was with you.
Yes.
But, I'm a little puzzled.
Yes.
I was in one of your audiences on a previous occasion.
Yes.
And your subject, your teaching, your preaching embraced a strange subject.
Yes.
The subject of being born again. Now, I'm not an illiterate man. I'm a man who's versed in Jewish proof. I'm conversant with current philosophy. I know what the Greeks think, and I know what the ancients thinking of the Babylonians were or was, and I know what the Romans think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of up to date on current matters.
Yes.
But this philosophy that you are talking about, that this being born again,
oh, yeah,
kind of gets me.
Yes.
Scientifically, I can't figure that out.
Oh,
from the standpoint of genetics, I can't see it. Pray with me if you please. What about this being born again? Do you mean to say that I've got to disintegrate? Go back into nothing? And then come forth again through the same process? Jesus said, now, you're thinking it's materialistic. The thing that I'm talking about is a spiritual thing. It has to do with the will. It has to do with the heart. It has to do with the soul. It doesn't have to do with the body. It influences the body. Yes, it influences the body. It influences the body's choice. The body's ability to choose. It influences the disposition of the body. But it's a spiritual thing. And aside from that, don't marvel over it. You must be born again. It's imperative. It's mandatory. That is, if you expect to see, comprehend, and understand the kingdom, you've got to be born again. I wish you'd pray with me. You see, we have a lot of folk in the church who are not of the church. Did you hear what I said? We have a lot of folk whose names are here, but whose souls are not here. We have a lot of folk who cannot see or appreciate or understand what the church is doing. You know why? Jesus said you couldn't see it if you hadn't been born into it. I wish you'd pray with me. I want to say to you, anyone, in order to see it, you must be born into it. Let us take, for example, the physical world. You can't stand on the outside of this planet and see and appreciate and understand what's going on it. If you would appreciate the pale splendor of yonder's moon, if you would appreciate the unique beauty of yonder star, if you would respond to the blessing beauty of yonder's road, if you would behold the quiet majesty of yonder's mountain,
yes.
You must be born into this world.
Yes.
Otherwise, you can't see it. You can't see it. You cannot see physical things unless you've had a physical birth.
Yes.
That's not only true in the world of physics, it's true in the social world.
Yes.
You cannot appreciate the order of society, the North society, unless you've been born and integrated into that society. Isn't it so? A little boy walks into the grocerman's store, holding on to his father's hand. He looks on the counter and see there in fanciful paper, beautiful cakes. He see there fruit that challenge and tease his appetite.
Yes.
And he walks up to the counter and gets all the cakes that he wants,
yes,
without even looking at the grocer,
yes,
or feeling any sense of responsibility to him.
Yes.
You know why that little boy has not been born socially?
Yes.
He has not been integrated into the social order.
Yes.
He has not learned the laws of what is mine is mine.
Yes.
And what is thine is thine.
Yes.
No, no. He sees the cakes.
Yes.
And he knows that he wants them.
Yes.
And that's all that really matters to him.
Yes.
Isn't it so?
Yes.
But when he has experienced the social birth,
yes,
and has been integrated and comprehends the total social picture,
yes,
as to its demands and obligation.
Yes.
If he wants the cakes, he goes into his pocket and pull out the price.
Yes.
But he can't see all of that or none of that until he has been born socially.
Yes.
I wish I had somebody here,
yes,
that was praying with me.
Yes,
isn't it so?
Yes.
Listen if you please. Listen if you please. It is said that once in Italy, there was a great crowd visiting one of the world-famed art galleries.
Yes.
I'm going to bring this home pretty soon.
Yes.
And that crowd was milling through quietly and standing before the great creations of the great immortals,
yes,
yes,
as if they were praying.
Yes.
As if they were awe-stricken. Another woman who had no appreciation for art and for extraordinary creations in paint looked in and saw all of this crowd of folk, and said to the custodian, "What are these folk doing here?" The custodian said, "Well, madam, this is a world-famed art gallery."
Yes, sir.
Well,
she looked up on the wall with unseeing eyes,
yes,
and said, "I don't see nothing but pictures."
Yes. Yes.
You see, to her,
uh-huh,
they were pictures,
yes,
and only pictures,
yes,
because she had not been born into that world.
Yes.
Yes.
She had no appreciation,
yes,
no understanding, no sense of comprehension, because she had not been born into that world. She could not see its beauty. She could not see its value. She couldn't see anything about it in a comprehensive way. Because as Jesus said, before you can do that, you must be born into that world. My brothers and my sisters, I don't worry too much about people who criticize the church and who say that there's nothing to it and that there's nothing to the Christians. You don't need but a little sense to even appreciate the church. When you think about the great import and the great impact
of the Christian idea upon world society. When you think about what this world would be like if Jesus and his followers had never been on this planet, you could appreciate the church. I don't worry too much about it. I don't bother too much about it, because those folk have not been born into this world. And if you have not been born into it, you can't see it. The singing doesn't mean anything to you. The preaching doesn't mean anything to you. The efforts and the work, the great job that the church has done through the ages mean nothing to you, because you can't see it. And if you haven't been born into it, you can't see it. You know, I believe that most of you were born in the South and know something about a tadpole. You've heard of a tadpole, haven't you? A tadpole, you understand, is one of those little water creatures that looks like a catfish. He resembles a catfish to a large degree. And he is capable, however, of being something else. He's usually found around stale and stagnant water. And he contents himself in that stale, stagnant, muddy water, you know, for quite some time. And then Mother Nature whispers to him and tells him that he doesn't have to be satisfied with merely being a tadpole. Mother Nature tells him that he's able and capable of being something else. But before he can be that something else, why, he must go through a process that's called metamorphosis. And that catfish, why, that tadpole must go down in the muck and mire. And go down there and stay there. And while he's waiting down there, a process sets in. And that process starts to working on that old tadpole. And while that process is working, why, that tadpole is changing. And when the process is over, why, that old tadpole has turned into a frog. He can leap out of that muddy water. And he can leap out of that stale water. Oh, yeah. He can come on out of those stagnant waters and leap up on the bank and jump around in the grass. And jump around among the flowers and sit on a log late at night and in his own peculiar style sing praise to his God. Oh, Lord. Why, but he never could have enjoyed any of this if he hadn't gone through a change. Oh, Lord. And I don't know about you, my friend. Not Mother Nature. No, no. But the God of Nature whispered to me one day, as Mother Nature did to the tadpole, and said, if you're a sinner in your sins, you don't have to be satisfied with what you are. You can be an half-God and a joiner with Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, you can have a home on high. You can be an inheritor, the things in the sky. But before you can do this, you got to go down. Go down on bended knee. Go down in humility. Go down in an effort to seek God's pardon for your sins. Oh, Lord, if you stay there, a spiritual metamorphosis will set in on your soul. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, Lord. And when the process is over, oh Lord, when the chain has been finished, oh Lord, you may have been a sinner, but you arise a new creature. Yes, you will. Oh yeah, you arise and walk in the newness of life. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. Somebody said when it was all over, I stood up on my feet. Yes, I did. And looked at my hand. And yeah, my hand looked brand new. Yes, they did. Somebody said looked like the clothes that I had on looked brand new. Yeah. If you know what I'm talking about, yeah, you know you are a new creature.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said that not only did my hand look brand new, but oh, born again. You must be born. If you'd understand, if you would appreciate.
Children, let's sing about the goodness of the Lord. Come on, children, let's shout all about God's rich reward. Guide our footsteps every day, keeps us in the narrow way. Come on, children, let's sing about the goodness of the Lord. Yeah, come on, children, let's sing about the goodness of the Lord. Come on, children, let's shout all about God's rich reward.
Of Life, Mastering Growth, the new book by Alexandria native Shaniva Thomas. The book is inspired by life events and her faith in God that brought her through trials and tribulations. Shaniva is a kidney failure survivor, a proud mother of seven, a grandmother, a sister, and a friend, and her story needs to be told. Weeds of Life, Mastering Growth. Signed copies of Weeds of Life, Mastering Growth can be obtained Saturday, August 1st from 10 a.m. to 12 noon at Pooh's Grocery, 605 Pacific Avenue in Boyce, Louisiana, and from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Peacock Event Center, 1724 Bank Drive in Alexandria. Alexandria native Shaniva Thomas, author of Weeds of Life, Mastering Growth, is another proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true?
In month 8 of the I Commit to Pray campaign, the Voice of the Martyrs is praying persecuted Christians are able to rejoice in their suffering. Acts chapter 5 describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds.